Thursday, January 11th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every weekday, and we try to do it with a dose of common sense. We try not to take ourselves too seriously. Kind of try to poke fun at most all of the sports world. We are happy to have you with us today on this Thursday. Happy Thursday to you. You know, it's not quite Friday, but it is getting there. We are slowly making progress through this week. You know, this week is actually flying by. This week is actually going by very, very quickly. In fact, 2018 is kind of flying by already. We are already almost two full weeks into the new year. Seems like it was just New Year's Day like yesterday. You know, I think time does move faster when football season is winding down, though. Like, the weeks are just ticking away. You finish out the regular season, you had the bowl games, now you're into the playoffs, you got the wild card game, moving over to the divisional playoffs. Like, it's just moving, it's going really, really quickly. Just wait until baseball season gets here, though. Then time will go right back to dragging by. Like, baseball season, or maybe being in a bad relationship, both of those. And I'm telling you right now, the earth itself seems to stand still. Just have either one of those involved. Hey, if you would like to contact the show, we would love to hear from you. You can email us, dailydosesports@gmail.com. In fact, we have an email we're going to be reading in just a few minutes. Or you can reach out to us on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you have some feedback for the show. You need some advice. Whatever it might be, we would love to hear from you. You know, we've got a lot to get to today. We do have some breaking sports news that we need to talk about. Like I said, I received an email that I wanted to read and kind of address that. And we do have our Thursday sports overreactions of the week. Plus, I am doing my best to try to run down a guest and see if he will stop by and discuss a few things with us. Keep your fingers crossed. We are hoping to have someone stop by the show today. Hey, the Seattle Seahawks have fired their offensive coordinator, Daryl Bevel, after 7 seasons with the team, which is making a number of people in Seattle very, very happy. Seahawks fans, glad to be rid of Daryl Bevel. But here's the question that I have, because it was just a few years ago they were winning the Super Bowl. It was just a few years ago Seattle was like the big dog. And I know that there were people even then that weren't real happy with Daryl Bevel, but for the most part, when he had weapons to deal with, Seattle's offense was at least somewhat productive. Suddenly he doesn't have an offensive line, and everyone looks at him and goes, man, that guy sure is stupid. What a moron. Like, he used to be smart. Now he's just, man, he's just dumber and dumber. What a moron. How do these guys suddenly get dumb? How do coaches specifically just get so stupid so fast? You know, I remember back in the late 90s when the Denver Broncos had Mike Shanahan. And he had John Elway handing off to Terrell Davis or passing the ball to Shannon Sharp or Rod Smith or whoever it was. He was the mastermind. Remember that? He had that offensive line. Mark Schlereth, Gary Zimmerman, Tom Nalen, really good offensive line. He was the mastermind. He was a genius. Mike Shanahan is a genius. Remember when he was at San Francisco? He was the offensive coordinator. He had Steve Young. He had that group. Ricky Waters. He was a genius. And then he went to Washington. Didn't quite have as much talent. Man, Mike Shanahan is an idiot. What a moron. Dude knows nothing about football. It's amazing how quickly these guys go from genius to moron, isn't it? Doesn't coincide with their talent whatsoever, though, does it? It's all them. Either they're really smart or they're really dumb. Makes no difference that they're literally calling the exact same play that they called for those other guys that worked and looked so brilliant. Call the exact same play now. Don't have the talent. Man, is he stupid. How'd he get so dumb so fast? Got some bad news for Oklahoma Sooners quarterback Baker Mayfield that came out on Wednesday. Apparently, that arrest in February will not disqualify him from participating in this year's NFL scouting combine, per a league spokesman. Now, you might hear that and think, what are you talking about? That's great news for Mayfield. He can go do the combine. Like, that would be perfect for him. Go show what he can do. Go impress some coaches. Go get some people that understand him. Get to kind of figure his mentality out. That's a great situation for Baker Mayfield to get to. Is it? Is it really? Or would it be maybe a little bit better if he didn't go to the combine? They're going to measure him. They're going to say, he's not quite as tall as we thought he was. Or they're going to talk to him and say, man, he's really cocky. We're going to maybe hear something about hand size or some silly stuff. Like, he would be better off not going to this. The bad news, they're not going to disqualify him. Probably would be better if Baker was disqualified. And here's the thing. Because you sit there, remember last year, we saw running back Joe Mixon get banned from the combine after video surfaced of him dislocating some woman's jaw for her. And that really hurt him, didn't it? He fell all the way to the second round of the NFL draft. Uh-oh. Second round? Oh, man. You can't recover from that, can you? Let's see. Second round where you can probably go to a better team? Yeah, that actually sounds perfect for Baker Mayfield. He should totally be disqualified from the combine. Because then, instead of going to one of those horrible teams, maybe he'd get to go to like the Packers or go to like the Steelers instead of like the dregs of the NFL. I know people are spinning this as good news for Baker Mayfield. Is it though? Is it really? Because it doesn't seem like it's very good news for Baker Mayfield. It almost seems like the opposite of good news for Baker Mayfield. And also, it sounds like the New York Giants are going to hire, at least the rumors out there, New England Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia to be their new head coach. Which is a little bit weird, isn't it? That they'd go get Matt Patricia? Because over the past few days and weeks, I've been hearing the New York Giants were going to go get like Nick Saban. Or maybe even Bill Belichick himself. Maybe he would be taking the job. You know, he's always wanted to go back to New York. I don't know if you realize this, but Nick Saban's always wanted to be the Giants coach. Has he? Has he really? Or does he have things perfectly set the way he wants to down at Alabama? Why would Bill Belichick go to the Giants? Why would you take a step backward? Makes no sense to me whatsoever, but it sounds like they're kind of zeroing in on Matt Patricia. Here's the thing that I'm realizing as I say this. I don't know if I've ever heard Matt Patricia speak. Like, I've seen him on the sideline with the Patriots. Big old huge dude. Got the backwards hat on. Got the beard. Pencil behind the ear. I don't know if I've ever heard him speak. The only thing I remember of Matt Patricia is remember after the Deflategate thing, he wore the Roger Goodell clown shirt. Remember that? This is the guy they're hiring? I don't know. I thought the Giants ownership was kind of in good with Roger Goodell. That's who they're going to hire? We'll see if this all comes out as true. Not sure whether to believe this or not, but that's what they're saying. They're saying they're really, really close to getting Matt Patricia. He doesn't seem like a head coach guy. He seems like a coordinator guy. I don't know. I'm not saying that I know that. I'm just saying that's just kind of how it seems. You know, there are still a few NFL jobs out there if this is true. The Arizona Cardinals still has to be filled. The Detroit Lions, the Indianapolis Colts, they are still out there. Now, here's a question that I have. Because one of the biggest names out there on the job market is also with the Patriots. Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels came to Denver, started off okay, went downhill very, very quickly, got in some trouble, was doing some cheating, was doing some Spygate kind of stuff here in Denver. McDaniels is now back to being that hot coach. Maybe he's the guy. Here's the question that I have. Can the Indianapolis Colts take Josh McDaniels to be their head coach? Like, he seems like that actually might be a decent fit for him. He seems like the kind of guy, after spending so much time with Tom Brady, maybe he could help Andrew Luck get back to being Andrew Luck. But there's like some serious beef between the Colts and the Patriots. Can they go hire Josh McDaniels? Or does he have to go somewhere like Detroit? Does he have to go somewhere like Arizona? Because there's no way those two franchises, like there's too much of a rift there. They could never hire him. Just wouldn't go well. I'm actually kind of wondering how that would all work out. Be interesting to see a couple of the hirings that are going to have to take place in the NFL. Hey, did get an email to the show that I wanted to read here real quick. Let me grab this real quick. It says, Clint, love the show. I can't believe the Kansas City Chiefs lost on Saturday. I'm not a Chiefs fan, but I wanted them to win because I'm sick of seeing the New England Patriots win. I think the Chiefs matched up the best with them. Can anyone else knock off the hated Patriots? That is from David in Denver. David, thank you for your email. Here, I guess, is some good news, bad news for you. I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news is the Kansas City Chiefs weren't beating the New England Patriots. Like, that was never going to happen. That was not on the table. And I know that a lot of people looked at that and said, hey, they beat them in the first game of the year. They can beat them. Like, they match up okay with them. Even going to New England, even going to Foxborough, they could beat them. Run the ball, dominate the ball. Maybe they could have beat the Patriots again in the playoffs. There was no way the Patriots were going to lose a second time to the Chiefs. That was never going to happen. I totally get the sentiment. We want new blood in the playoffs, right? We want anyone, someone, beat the New England Patriots. Everyone is sick of the Patriots. It wasn't going to be the Kansas City Chiefs no matter what. That had no chance of happening. You saw that as the season wore on, they seemed to get worse and worse and worse. They were soft up front defensively. Andy Reid, for whatever reason, somehow gets out coached by lesser coaches. I don't fully understand it. But the Chiefs were never a chance to beat the Patriots in that game. That would never have happened. Little bit of good news. There is a little bit of an advantage to the Pittsburgh Steelers losing to New England during the regular season and losing the way that they did to New England. That actually is a little bit of an advantage. Can the Steelers beat the Patriots in New England? Probably not. Do they at least have a chance? Yes, they do. They at least have a shot. And maybe you just get, you know, the stars to align that one day and the Steelers beat the Patriots. I don't know if the Steelers are considered like new blood, though. They've been there as much or more than anyone, so I don't know if that seems like new blood to me. Like, if it was up to me, I'd like to see the Titans do it this weekend. I know that's not going to happen. I realize that. We can, like, hope all we want. Probably not going to happen. But the Titans, that would be the one. Maybe Marcus Mariota could do something. I do think there are some teams on the NFC side that could beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Would make for a very, very interesting Super Bowl. AFC side is going to be pretty tough. And the Kansas City Chiefs had no shot. Didn't matter if they got by Tennessee or not. Hey, coming back, we are hoping to be joined by a longtime friend of the show. We have a few things to discuss with him about the NFL playoffs and also just kind of checking in general on his well-being. We'll see if we can get that all together when we come back. As promised, we weren't sure if we were going to be able to run this guy down. We were just kind of hoping to, but we are joined by longtime friend of the show and resident sad Buffalo Bills fan. Raymond from DC is returning to the show for the first time since his beloved Bills were knocked out of the playoffs. Raymond, how you doing there, buddy? You okay?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Again, I'm doing good. I'm in the land of the living.
Well, that's good.
And we had a tough one on Sunday.
Yeah, that was a tough one. It was tough. I know it was tough for me to watch watching that game because it was 10-3, and it sounds like it would be a good game 10-3. It wasn't very fun to watch. It wasn't very watchable. Kind of boring. And I'm wondering how you felt watching it, because it's one thing for the rest of the fans to be watching it, but you're invested in this. You're looking as, you know, can we win this game? How was it for you to watch? Was it as painful for you as it was for us?
Well, it was. I had a Sunday ticket, so I watched all the game. And I feel like a lot of people really haven't seen my Bills play.
Yeah.
And I really got a lot of people, you know, mentioned to me they didn't know Tyrod was that bad. He's been that way all year. It really wasn't a surprise the way he was playing. He's kind of been doing the same thing all year long, and we've been winning despite him.
Yeah.
So the hope was going into the game that the defense and then, you know, LeSean, I knew he was going to play, of course.
Sure.
Would be able to carry us and, you know, Tyrod and make a play here and there. And, you know, like he's done so many times this season, he did absolutely nothing. So I'm just not happy with that dude right now. Really haven't been happy with him all year.
When Tyrod gets knocked out of the game, Nathan Peterman comes in. Are you encouraged by this? Are you hoping for something? Or are you just basically saying, okay, well, that's it. That's the season.
Well, I knew that he was going to throw an interception. I was hoping that he would take a shot into the end zone, but I knew that he would throw an interception. Nathan Peterman, he'll throw the ball. He's going to throw the football.
Right.
And he's going to throw picks. So, you know, which is why Tyrod really was our best option, which is
yeah, he was
crazy. Yeah, he really was our best option. And it makes sense, I think, if you haven't seen the Bills play. If you saw Tyrod and the way he plays like that every game. So I think it kind of made sense for people to say, oh, I understand why they benched him, you know, earlier in the season. Even though, you know, it didn't work, but
right,
yeah, it was good for everybody to see.
You're over Tyrod. It sounds like you're over Tyrod Taylor.
Well, he's been in Buffalo three seasons now, I know what he is. I know what he ain't. I'm ready for him to go. Yeah, I'm ready for him to go.
Who do you want instead? If you get rid of Tyrod Taylor, who would be your choice to get?
Well, to be honest, this bringing in a veteran, I'm really not feeling that.
No,
I'm for just bringing. Hey, let's go with the rookie. I say let's draft two rookies. You know how things are done in the NFL. I realize that they're going to bring in a veteran, but I'm kind of over veterans. You know, just give me a rookie. Let's just go with the rookie.
Well, that's because you've had a lot of bad recycled veterans up there,
and I'm really not up for it anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
But you know, quarterback. I want people to notice. The four games we had this weekend, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Buffalo, every team played in the wild card round, even the quarterback.
Yeah, that's true.
In the AFC. So it lets you see making the playoffs in the AFC. If you can run the football and play solid defense, you can make it and not turn the ball over.
Right.
You can make it. And I feel like you can do that with a rookie. If Tyrod got me to the playoffs the way he was playing all season, I can do that with a rookie. So give me a rookie.
Let me throw out a scenario for you.
Yeah.
You get rid of Tyrod Taylor. He goes elsewhere and he leaves. You sign a veteran that has taken his team to the playoffs, has won a playoff game. Well, like, would you be up for that kind of a situation? Like a guy who has had some success in the playoffs, he's won a playoff game. Would you be up for that?
Well, I'd be up for it, but I'm already thinking to myself, well, who's that?
Blake Bortles.
Yeah, so Blake Bortles isn't going to work in Buffalo. What makes that game so frustrating was it was so winnable. I knew that they were not going to be able to run the ball on us.
No,
I knew it.
They didn't.
And I think it was something I said.
And yeah, you did.
I was looking forward to having Blake Bortles throw the ball. Because I knew it would be comical.
And it was.
And, of course, exactly. It went exactly how I knew it was going to go. I know my team so well. I knew exactly the problems that we would give him, and that they would not be able to throw the ball against us. That's why the loss is just so painful.
So
because I knew exactly. I believe I said it on your show.
You did.
I said exactly how it was going to happen.
You did. The only thing that came up short was the fact that Buffalo couldn't score either. But other than that, you laid out exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah, so that's what it's just so maddening about the situation that a team that bad,
right?
As bad as Jacksonville played, as bad as Tennessee played, these teams are advancing.
Yes,
and you can't tell me that either one of those teams is better than my Bills team.
They're both awful. I'll definitely give you that.
Really frustrating. Really frustrating.
When that last interception is thrown by Peterman, it's deflected. We're not sure if it's an interception or not. It's really kind of hard to tell in the replay. It kind of looked like it touched the ground. Not really sure if that was affected. What was your reaction? Was there any attempt on your part to try to hurt yourself, run out into traffic? What was the reaction when that happened?
There was no attempt at that point.
So there was later.
No, it was earlier in the game.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you remember the sequence where we were down at the goal line at first and goal.
Yes, and you went backwards.
And we decided to throw a pass to Kelvin Benjamin.
Right.
And my thought on that was, we can't throw.
No.
We're not a throwing team. Here we have LeSean McCoy, and we have another guy. We have Mike Tolbert.
Yes.
Little fat guy. We have these two guys on first and goal. It's on the 1.5-yard line, and we decide to throw a pass up. We allow Tyrod to throw the pass, and it's just like, well, we haven't completed this pass all year long. this lob into the pass, ever since we had Benjamin, we've thrown this pass a few times. We haven't completed it one time.
So what did you do when they threw it? What was your reaction?
I screamed.
You screamed.
I screamed. I leaped out my chair. I screamed and cursed. Then it was a penalty, and I just knew that would be a lot of yards for us to get back. It was just so I was very, very unhappy about that call.
Yeah, I don't.
I have not been a fan of my offensive coordinator, Rick Dennison. I'm sure you Bronco fans are familiar with him.
We don't like him either.
So it was just really, really frustrating for us to go that route, throwing the ball on the 2-yard line, and we have the most underrated back in the league, LeSean McCoy. People remember his days from Philly, but he's still a monster.
He's still
doing big things. It was just so frustrating to see that. But I think had we got a touchdown there, that would have came close to ending that game, because I'm sure we all saw Blake Bortles throwing that ball. That was downright frightening.
Yes, he can't throw a lick.
No, he can't.
And the fact that he won a game passing for 87 yards is absolutely horrifying.
Yeah. And then he had those scrambles. So, you know, the first scramble, like, dang it, he leaked out, you know. And then it happened again. Okay. So at that point, I'm thinking, well, he's not throwing a ball. So we need to make adjustments.
Right.
I'm like, well, where's the spy? Where's the adjustment on that? That really irked me, too. Now, I have no complaints about my defense.
No, your defense played well.
Yeah. But, you know, that was tough to watch this guy who can't throw the ball. We know he can't throw the ball. So now he's scrambling, and we're letting him do that. It was just like, well, let's fix this up, guys. Let's tighten it up. And that just never happened. So it's funny. I recently bought some furniture from IKEA, and I needed a hammer, and I couldn't find it. So I don't know where my hammer is.
I'm so glad you were unable to find that hammer, or we might not be having this conversation right now.
I have not seen my hammer in some time.
Wow.
Luckily, because I will jump on it.
You sound like you're sick. You sound like you're sick there. You don't sound good. You okay?
I'm a little under the weather. I have a cold.
Okay.
It's been very cold in the D.C. area for the past you know, going into the year, this past weekend and stuff, it's been flipping freezing. Okay.
Well,
so my immune system is a bit down, and then I work outside, so I am a bit under the weather. And I, you know, I've been stressed out, you know, my team and all.
Yes. So, I don't blame you there.
I am a little under the weather. I'm not myself.
Well, I hope you get to feeling better. If you were looking forward, now that your team is out of it, who's going to the Super Bowl and who's winning this thing?
Well, I'm not watching.
Well, that's not nice.
I'm not I'm no longer a football fan.
Okay.
I'm good. So who cares who wins it at this point? That's what I'd say about that.
You're not gonna watch anymore.
I'm kinda good. I'm you know, my team's out of it, you know. I don't care for any of the teams left. Can't stand the Patriots.
Right.
Can't stand the Steelers.
Sure.
Those other two teams I'm jealous of.
Right.
So can't stand them either.
Anyone in the NFC you're interested in?
I like watching Minnesota play.
Yeah, yeah, they're kind of fun.
I like their style. I like how they play. But will I watch them? I doubt it.
You're very bitter today.
I have a coworker. I know a few Eagles fans.
Okay.
So I might watch that game. I might to lose, and I'll be good to, you know.
To just see them lose?
One and done. Yeah, to see them lose.
Yeah, they're probably going to lose to Atlanta, aren't they?
I think so. One and done. That'll be nice. I had a guy tell me today, oh, at least we have a quarterback. He's an Eagle fan. Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Right. Wrong week to say that.
Right. Wrong week, and hey, how's that ACL for you?
Man, that's just mean.
Hey, well, he started it. So I'm not an Eagle fan either. I hope they lose. Well, they're going to lose right out the gate, so that'd be nice.
Any interest in New Orleans? New Orleans do anything for you? You've gone to New Orleans a few times.
I've been to New Orleans. I've been to Minnesota, too, actually.
Yeah.
Minnesota sucked. Wow. New Orleans is a dump.
Oh, boy. We're just insulting everyone today.
All right. Philly's a dump, too, by the way. I think that Minnesota will pull that out. I guess that'll be the game of the weekend, if you will. But, you know, I think that their defense really is going to stop the run.
Yeah,
and you know, make Drew pass. And, you know, Drew's a good passer and all, but they're going to give him problems in that dome. You know, he's not going to be able to do all those audibles and stuff. And I expect Minnesota to beat them, so I expect them to host the Super Bowl.
That's going to be really, really interesting if they do. Like, we've never really seen that. We've seen, you know, California teams or something like that in a stadium down the way, but never like your home stadium, home team. They've got a really, really good chance of doing that.
Yeah, and you know, their home field advantage is really. It's serious. So,
yeah, it is.
You know, if they get in, going to Minnesota is going to be a problem.
Well, I'm sorry that you won't be watching the rest of the playoffs, and I hope you get to feeling better. I'm glad you're still, you know, around. I'm glad that even though you bet your life, you're still alive and kicking.
I'm still here. Let's go Nuggets!
I have a lot. I have a lot of your lives in my back pocket at this point. You've bet me a lot of lives. We have gone through a lot of times, and I now am the owner of a number of your lives.
I'm willing to bet my life.
I have a lot to spare. I don't know if you're familiar with the saying, everybody loves Raymond. So I just live on, dude. I'm a liver.
Well, so I'm glad that you're a liver.
Thank you.
That makes me very, very happy. I want you to take care of yourself. I want you to get some rest and some NyQuil or some whiskey or something and get yourself back to feeling better. And then maybe we could have you back on and talk some NBA or talk some college hoops sometime.
Hey, that would be good. Hey, we can talk some draft. Let's go Bills.
Oh, yeah, we could talk some draft.
Next year.
Yeah.
We're going undefeated next year, well, too, so that'll be good.
You've been going undefeated for the last, like, 16, 17, 18 years now. I want you to get better, and we will be talking to you here sometime soon. But thank you, as usual, for stopping by the Daily Dose and gracing us with your presence.
Go Bills!
Hey, just a quick reminder to make sure that you do any of that post-holiday shopping that you might need to do. Maybe you've got birthdays coming up. We know we have Valentine's Day coming up. Be sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose because they have a ton of pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games over there. January's Loot Crate theme is called Discover. It features items from Rick and Morty, X-Files, Harry Potter, and Westworld. But if none of those franchises interest you, head over to Loot Crate. You're going to find a lot more over there. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type in Daily Dose in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of your order. Okay, we do this every single week on Thursdays. We like to take a look around the sports world and just kind of see what overreactions they might be jamming down our throat this week. And sometimes we hear these things and we say,
that was an overreaction.
So here are a few of the top sports takes rolling around sports media this week that we wanted to address. First and foremost, talked a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs earlier. One of the things we're hearing, Andy Reid has reached his maximum in KC. He has reached the ceiling in Kansas City. They need to fire Andy Reid and move forward. I understand the sentiment. Hey, Andy Reid flat out pooped the tub on Saturday against the Tennessee Titans. He didn't run the best running back in the league this year when he needed to. He didn't get that team to close out a lead that they had at home. It's not the first time it's happened to Andy Reid. He has a tendency to lose big leads and to lose games that you look at and say, there is no way they should have lost that game. So I understand that. But here is my caution to Kansas City fans. Be careful what you wish for, because right now, Andy Reid has the Chiefs every year in some sort of playoff postseason contention. Do not forget the days of coaches in your past like Todd Haley and Romeo Crennel and Gunther Cunningham and John Makovic and Paul Wiggin and pretty much any coach that's ever been in Kansas City besides Hank Stram. So don't get too greedy, Kansas City fans, because it's not like you have this long lineage of success and then, hey, Andy Reid came in here and screwed it all up. At least he has you being talked about in the league. At least he's getting you to the postseason. Is he probably going to choke in the postseason? Yes. Yes, he probably is. Another hot take flying around. Just because they won it all doesn't mean that Alabama belonged in the college football playoff. Okay, well, who did belong? If that's your argument, that Alabama didn't belong, and I've heard some pretty big media members say this, just because they won it doesn't mean Alabama should have been there. Well, then who should have been there? Ohio State? We're going to forget the 50 points that Iowa hung on them? I would listen a little to Penn State. They did lose back-to-back games. That's always tough to bounce back from. Central Florida, no one was saying that before they beat Auburn. Nobody was saying, why isn't Central Florida in the playoff? So tell me who belonged, and then maybe we can have that conversation. I think Alabama absolutely proved they did belong, and they absolutely proved they are the best team in the country. So not sure I buy that. Also hearing, you know, Nick Saban is overrated. He's really overrated. And you know, that's kind of a tricky issue, because Nick Saban usually does have the best talent. He usually does have the best players. I don't know if that was the case on Monday night. I thought Georgia was the better team. Nick Saban rolls the dice, goes with a freshman quarterback, and somehow wins the game. But here's the thing. Everyone says, hey, Nick Saban's just a great recruiter. He's not that great of a coach. Okay, well then, why aren't other guys out there being great recruiters? Like, why don't we have 3, 4, 5 other coaches racking up championships too and saying, hey, we can recruit right with Nick Saban? Big deal. So he gets great recruits. So do we. If it's that easy, shouldn't we have 4 or 5 guys doing this, not just one? Because it seems like Nick Saban's getting over on everyone. I don't know if he's the greatest coach of all time. I have no idea. I have a hard time anytime someone is saying he's the greatest coach in history, he's the greatest quarterback in history, he's the greatest this and that. I always struggle with that. Because I don't know. No one knows. We're all just kind of guessing. I don't like to make those grand declarations. I know that Nick Saban is in the conversation. He's won so much, and he's won everywhere he's gone. He won at Michigan State. He won at LSU. The only place he didn't win was in the NFL. And what was the problem in the NFL? He can't control everything. There are things out of his control. He doesn't get to pick and choose his players. Not sure Nick Saban is overrated. I'm not sure he's the greatest coach ever, but I'm not sure he's overrated. Not sure if you saw this, but the AP poll had 4 votes for Central Florida as the number one team in the country. These are the people who vote in the AP poll. 4 college football rankings, 4 people voted for Central Florida as the number one team in the country. Really? After that Alabama-Georgia game we saw on Monday night, you still think Central Florida is better than either one of those teams? I've got news for you. That was big boy football on Monday night. That was not little cute Peach Bowl football. That was big boy football. There were boys getting their teeth knocked out in that game. I don't buy that. That sounds like garbage to me. Again, this sounds like media members that are just bitter about the process and don't like Nick Saban and don't like Alabama. I'm no Alabama fan. I'm no Nick Saban fan. Got to call it what it is, though. That was big boy football on Monday night. Not sure Central Florida could have hung with that. I understand they have speed. We talked about this on Tuesday after the game. Alabama looked like they were throwing body punches. Have all the speed you want. You get hit in the liver, you slow down. Finally, the last hot take we're seeing, go pick a sports website. It's probably over there. Right now, the Boston Celtics could beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in 7 games. I mean, yeah, I guess. I suppose. I don't know how that matters. I mean, if they played right now, is that what we're saying? If they played right now in January, they could win a best of 7. Okay. I mean, I guess. Are we doing just what ifs? Is that this whole premise? We're just doing what ifs? I mean, what if we traded LeBron for Kyrie Irving? I mean, then what would happen? I don't know. We just got a lot of what ifs. I realize the Cavs are struggling right now. None of this matters until we get to the playoffs. It makes no difference what the Celtics could do right now. Start running out of things to talk about in sports, don't we? Seems like the sports media just begging for something to talk about, and they bring up these, hey, the Celtics played the Cavs right now, they'd win. I'll tell you what, if Jordan played LeBron right now, he'd probably get beat. Who cares? Like, you're just making up nonsense to talk about. And once again, silly sports overreactions never fails to disappoint, because we always have something goofy coming out of the sports media world. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and of course, we will be looking at the latest sports news and stories. Plus, as we do every single Friday, we will look at the best games and preview the biggest events coming up this weekend that you need to make sure that you tune in for. We will also have our weekly Daily Dose Top 5, and you know you've got to tune in for that. Hey, have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. It is appreciated. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions and the suggestions. It is all very, very appreciated. Have to say thank you to Raymond for stopping by. You know we always enjoy your visits. They are never, ever boring. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Thursday, everyone.